Greetings and welcome to our study of Titus. We're in chapter 3. We are in the first verse. The focus of Titus is the encouragement to live in line with the teaching that you understand, that your sanctification should reflect the doctrine that you know. And we looked last week at, or last class, at the study of chapter 1 when he says to remind the people of certain things. The first was to be subject to rulers and authorities, and we covered that. His next statement is to remind them to be obedient. Now, that certainly goes along with our discussion last week. When we think about authorities and rulers, the need to be obedient to our authorities, and we actually looked at some of the things that Paul and Jesus, Peter, said about authorities and being obedient to them. But we also understand that obedience is true about all levels of authority. And I think one of the things we need to understand is the way that God operates in this life and how it reflects on those things. Basically, God is the ultimate authority. God is in authority over us and ought to be in all things. However, God also recognizes that though all authority comes from above, that some of that authority has been also designated to others who are over us, in our families. When we're children, our parents are authorities. In our churches, we have elders who are to be authorities. When we consider the government, we have government officials who are our authorities, police who are authorities. In business, the boss is our authority. We have relationships throughout our lives that we have authorities in that we're supposed to be, as he says here, obedient to. And that's essential because the way God designed us, he requires that there be a level the removal of chaos, the ability to be controlled, self-controlled. And if you can't be self-controlled, externally controlled. And since not everyone is going to be self-controlled, there needs to be a level of balance and a level of civility. And so God always wants there to be authorities. He from the very beginning established authorities, initially in family. When there were two people, God developed a structure of authority, an order. Adam was the head of Eve. In fact, that violation of Adam as being the authority, as he gave up that authority and listened to whatever Eve told him, is what God rejected with that punishment in the garden. Eve usurping Adam's authority and not listening to him is what prompted that curse in the garden. Once family was established, God structured authority through the parents and the grandparents. It's called the patriarchal period because it was very much a family-oriented relationship. God would instruct families through the wisdom of the authorities. And so a parent was over a child. And even in those days, grandparents had great authority and great-grandparents had great authority. And that structure was to keep the families growing and healthy and stable. In business, there was always rules that God gave about how employers and employees interacted, slaves and masters or servants, and how they interacted. Now, those were all essential things to keep society structured well, to keep society going well. And so when he says to be obedient, he's talking about those situations in which we are under an authority and we're told to do things. Now, because God's the ultimate authority, sometimes our authorities tell us to do the very things that God wants us to do. Sometimes our authorities tell us things that we think God doesn't want us to do. And we have to deal with that. And I think reading, there's purposes for this authority that we need to appreciate and come to appreciate. And I think if we did understand it better, we would better deal with this whole idea of who's the boss that we all struggle with. One of the purposes of authority is to help us grow in wisdom and character. If you think about Jesus, there's stories about him when he was about 12, when he told his parents that he needed to be about his father's business. And his parents told him, no, you come home with us. Jesus had to make a decision. He was technically an adult. 12 years old was that point in time which a Jewish boy becomes an adult. And he said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? It's time to follow God and get back here in the temple and begin my business. But his parents said, no, it's time to come home. And what we know is that then Jesus went home and was submissive to his parents until he was 30. At 30, he then left. And that was that point in time which he was no longer bound to them, obligated to them. But during that time, the Bible says in Luke 2:52 that he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. That part of the choosing to be obedient to our in-life authorities is because it gives us the opportunity to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor. That's part of what God wants us to do with those who are in authority. They're never going to be perfect. Our parents weren't perfect. Our mates aren't perfect. Our boss isn't perfect. Government employees or officials are not perfect. Elders are not perfect. And yet it is our role of being obedient to them that helps us grow in our own stature, in our own wisdom, our own character. Secondly, the purpose of authorities over us is not so that they can have dominion over us. It's not about they get to be the boss. The focus is not authority. The focus is protection. The purpose for having authorities is to provide protection. The purpose for having parents have authority over children is because the children need protection. You know, there are times when our children will make bad decisions if left to their own devices. And so what we have then is a role where parents have to overrule their decisions. In fact, in the Bible, it even says in the Old Testament that if a child makes a vow, which is makes a vow before God, but when his father hears about it, and that day he can say no, and that it's the only way to be released from that vow. Or if a wife makes a vow and her husband says no, she's now released from that vow, because it's not just about authority, who has the boss, who has the authority and who's the boss. And that becomes our focal point. Husbands aren't supposed to be the boss of wives, and parents aren't supposed to be the boss of children. You can't be the boss of me. But it's not about that. It's about protection. And God gave husbands the role of protecting their wives. It's our nature to want to protect physically, emotionally. Husbands may be the ones that cause some of the emotional and physical or spiritual stress on his wife's life. However, if he thinks somebody else is doing it, he's going to step up and stop that, even though he's not perfect himself. And certainly parents want to protect their children in every way, shape, and form. And it's the role of the elders to protect. It's not about I'm the boss. It's I have a responsibility to protect you. It's the role of the master to protect his slaves. And if Christians would have promoted that, imagine how slavery in America would have been different if instead of being focused on, slaves are what I own, but instead slaves are my responsibility for me to protect. Imagine how different things would have been, and perhaps would have been the end of slavery as we knew it without a shot being fired. Then the third purpose, I think, for authorities, besides to help us grow and to help and be protected by them, is to receive clear direction for life decisions. The Bible says in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. And one of the most basic aspects of faith is to realize how God gets his directions to us through those he's placed over us. And sometimes we don't like the one he's placed over us. But he's put them there to help us get direction. And so that is a time when we have to learn to, by faith, accept God's direction. In my life personally, I have gotten more direction from God about certain aspects of my life through the elders that I've worked under. I would go to them and request of them, and they would give me direction. And it would be, looking back, the best direction, because they were authorities. There were times I would go to my father or my father-in-law to get counsel from them. There were times when I would get direction from God through other authorities, and it would answer the questions that I would have and give me direction that I needed because I asked for clarity. Now, in this passage, he says that he wants to remind us to be obedient. And there are times when we're asked to choose between two authorities that may have conflicting counsel or conflicting direction. Especially there are times when God gives a certain direction and our authorities give conflicting direction. And what is really essential is that we understand that there is a time that we're supposed to resist and suffer, and there's a time when we're supposed to make an appeal. If we think that the authority is giving us direction that is contradictory to what God wants, we have to learn to make appeals. We appeal to them and say, and we offer some alternatives. We offer, our side, or we offer a counter to that. We have to begin by checking our own attitudes. We have to make sure our conscience is clear. Maybe what we're being told by an authority is because we've not fixed a problem in our own life. And the real issue is perhaps we're getting this direction because we've proved ourselves unreliable. We're late for work all the time. And so suddenly we're being told something, or we don't get our work done. We're not very studious, or we don't work very hard. And so now we're told to work on a Sunday to make up. And we don't know, that conflicts with what I think God wants me to do on Sunday. And the problem may have been, it's us, it's our problem. And then you try to figure out what it is that they're really trying to accomplish with their instruction that you think contradicts what God or it wants you to do or what's right. And then you design an alternative. You have to think outside the box and figure out how can I accomplish what you want to accomplish while not contradicting what I think is right. And then you make the appeal. It's kind of what Daniel did when he went to the men over him and said, why don't you give us, a period of time where we eat what we think is best to eat and see how it turns out. And then give God some time to change your minds. But there are times when we have to suffer for doing wrong. And I think the biggest issue with that is that sometimes we pick the wrong things, non-biblical things to suffer for. There are, I think, three things in the Bible that basically the Bible says, you do this no matter what. One of them is that if you have to choose between your family or Christ, you have to pick Christ. Now, this is in terms of salvation and not service. The Bible commands us, it's necessary that we be saved. And so if becoming a Christian means we lose our family, we have to choose becoming a Christian. However, if a way that we serve as a Christian costs us our family, that may not be what God wants us to do. A high school kid who says, I want to go and go to college here. And parents say, no, I want you to go to college somewhere else. And you say, well, no, I think this is what's best. That's not a salvational issue. That is a service issue. Or I want to go into a certain field. And they say, well, before you consider that, we want you to do something else. That is a service issue. Deciding that you want to go to church on a Sunday and your parents or your husband or your boss says, no, I really need you to do something else on Sunday. That is a service issue and not a salvational issue. Now, if they forbid you ever to go to church on Sunday, that becomes something different. Then you try to figure out what is it that is causing this conflict with God's direction that I think I have with what my authorities that God has placed over me, what they want. And that's so you leaving your family versus becoming a Christian in Matthew 10, 32 and following, it gives us that we do what's right and we suffer for it. Giving or proclaiming the gospel versus following the government. In other words, if we're told that we can't proclaim the gospel or proclaim truth, Acts 4:19, you know, we have no choice but to do what God leads us to do. And so if the government says you can't, you know, teach the gospel, now you put yourself at risk, but, it's like saying the Great Commission says to go and preach the gospel, but that's only in places where it's easy. And if I live in a time and a place where it's easy and acceptable and promoted, then I can preach the gospel. But otherwise, I'm free from doing what I'm supposed to do. And then the third area is false worship. When given the choice, Daniel chapter 6, between worshiping a false god and perhaps even dying, he said, I'll die versus false worship. Sometimes we create conflicts because there's things that we want to do, and by rejecting our authority. Kids at all times with parents reject the authority to do what they want to do and blame it on God. God says I have to do this, but it doesn't fall in these areas. You know, there's times that we flee. That's kind of what happens sometimes when we're confronted with a situation, and the only thing we can do is run. You know, Joseph, when confronted with a requirement of his master's wife, and she was an authority over him, and wanted him to do something, and all he could do is flee. Whatever, I'm just going to run. That's sometimes our solution. Sometimes it's to make an appeal. Sometimes it is to do what's right in those rare cases and suffer for it. And it might be, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, it might be that we don't survive this fiery furnace, but we're still going to do what's right. And as Daniel would have said, it may be that I don't survive the lion's den. I'm still going to do what's right. And there are times when we have to pick between what the times that God says, and there needs to be a biblical example. This is things that God says we need to do and suffer if we don't. Or these are things we don't do and suffer if we do them, and go against our authorities. We're supposed to be obedient, and that is a test of us. Can we be obedient? It's an act of faith. And if we can't be obedient, what we're saying is that what Jesus did was wrong when he went home with his parents, because it was his obedience that made him what he was. As Hebrews says, by learning obedience, he became the sacrifice that we needed. And so we need to be obedient. But then the caveats are, the Bible also says there are times when our obedience puts us in conflict, or our need to be obedient puts us in conflict with other commands. And we need to be discerning, seek counsel on what is the best solution. What does the Bible advise on how to do what we're supposed to do? It has a real tie-in to our rulers and authorities, a real tie-in to our family that was talked about in chapter 2. But this is perhaps one of those things that we talk very little about, but will be a real test or evaluation of our standing with God in life, when we are given the opportunity to stand and do what's right, be obedient to God, or be obedient to those in authority over me, even when we don't want to, maybe even when it costs us. Well, there's more to talk about in this section, and we'll do that in our next lesson. But until then, make sure you live to please God.